Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtains.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret societies, secret oaths, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more. All in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Take too much time to tell y'all about my situation that's been happening for the last about a week and a half. It's actually stopped for right now, but who knows. But anyway, we are in an interesting time. Chinese proverb. It is an honor to be alive. When Jesus Christ, it was an honor, I guess, to be alive. I'm pretty sure it was an honor to be alive when Jesus walked the face of the earth. And you were able to see him do miracles and see the Savior and talk to the Savior if you got a chance to. And that time period was one of the most important times to be alive. And none compared to that one but this generation. This generation has the end times to go through and participate in, unfortunately. So which one's better? I'm pretty sure it's to see the Savior if you died and you were born again. It's definitely to see the Savior. Tonight I want to talk about the situation that I've been going through a little bit. Demonic attacks happen in all facets and forms. The enemy has many trees to tempt the believer and the unbeliever with. And he also has many methods. The Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. We have an episode with our neighbor where one night I was up on the computer and I heard a knock. She was knocking with authority. She knocks on the door, and I open the door thinking it was all normal. And she says, I'd like to apologize for we're making so much noise. I'm up coughing all night. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, we don't hear you guys. We don't hear y'all making any noise. So I shut the door to my veil. An hour later, she comes back, says the exact same thing. I'd like to apologize. We're making too much noise. I cough all the time, and she's explaining she's taking medication for a certain, I won't mention the disease, but she's taking medication. She's also mentioned that she was drinking because, and I don't recall the reason why she said she was drinking, but anyway, so I said, okay, well, we don't hear you guys making noise. We got 5 kids, so we apologize for making noise ourselves. So she goes back home, and I'm thinking that's the end of it. I go upstairs and tell my wife because I was kind of chuckling about it. But anyway, I go upstairs, and my wife is asleep, half asleep, and I tell my wife, and she's like, what? And, you know, I was like, the neighbor came by, and she's kind of acting weird or strange. But anyway, I go back in the living room, and to my avail, the phone rings. And I pick the phone up, and to my obliged, there she goes again. So I'm talking to her, and she's explaining, oh, well, I cough all the time, and, you know, repeating the same thing. So I said, oh, okay, we got a problem here. So I hang up the phone, and about an hour later, because I was midnight crawler that night, an hour later, she calls again. This time I didn't answer the phone. But then she leaves a message where I really didn't listen to until later. So we got a duplex to explain everything. We got a duplex house. So it's like one house hooked onto the other. So I might want to explain that. Well, anyway, I go to sleep for a few minutes, and me and my wife wake up. Actually, I wake up, and again, so I only went to sleep for like 3 hours. So I get up, and I'm just doing my thing, and all of a sudden the door starts, and somebody's at the door, knock, 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 you know, and I go get my wife this time because I ain't really want to deal with her. So my wife goes downstairs, and she explains the same thing to my wife. Okay. Now, what happens is, because my landlord, we live in houses, by the way, duplexes. They're not apartments. They're houses. They're duplexes. But anyway, my landlord lives diagonal across the street. So I guess what she does is she went and got the landlord. So the landlord comes over here, and the landlord comes up, you know, to our house, and she's telling us, I don't care what it is. Something has got to give. You guys have to stop. And we're like, stop what? What are we doing? We don't understand what's going on here. So she kept applying. And then she started applying. Now, here's where Satan comes in. She's applying. She applies to my, you know, my wife. She gets along with my wife. She says, are you okay? Are you okay? You know, you're being harmed or anything. And then my wife says, no, what are you talking about? So a little bit later, about an hour later, my landlord comes back over, but behind her is the next door neighbor. We just call him Mary for right now. So we're talking to when the landlord, and to my avail, the lady calls the police to the house as far as me and my wife is concerned, it was for no reason. So the police came by, you know, and they kind of knew something was wrong right away, because when the police got to the house, they came up to our next door neighbor, Mary, and she's saying, oh, it's fine, everything's fine, it's good. And they kind of thought it was strange then. So anyway, so it turns out that the next door neighbor was telling the landlord that it looks like I was shouting in the house. You know, I was shouting really loud, and I was, you know, harming my wife. So now it's not done yet. We're not done yet. Now, what happened is then we kind of like thought that was all strange. So we went to sleep that night. And at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, we were sleeping good too that night, and it was really quiet in the house. You can hear a pin drop. Well, anyway, we get a knock at the door, and my daughter comes, because my daughter didn't have to go to school that night, morning, next day, so she was up watching TV. So she comes in the room. She says, somebody's knocking on the door. I think it's the police. And then we go answer the door, and they said, and the police comes in and says, the next door neighbor says, it sounds like somebody was over here having CPR. So we said, okay. So we told the police, man, this is crazy. You can come up and check. So the police comes and checks, and he sees our house as quiet as a pin drop. And my wife, my daughter was actually in her room watching TV. She wasn't out in the living room or nothing, but she just heard the door, somebody knocking at the door. So So we called the landlord at 3 o'clock in the morning, and to our avail, she was still up. And she was like, what? I cannot believe this. So after the landlord was accusing me, along with the neighbor, of beating my wife. Oh, my God. So, you know, now you scrap up and hold on tight. We're not done yet. So it turns out that the landlord comes over and she says, we're going to give you guys a, well, before that, actually, before all that, before she called the police, it was actually the landlord was on the neighbor's side. And we kept trying to tell her, my wife definitely was trying to tell her that this girl, this lady is not dealing with a full deck. You know, she's doing things that are psycho, you know. So my wife went to work and she was asking questions about, like, you know, how does people, you know, handle, you know, things. And she's like, yeah, that some of the doctors and nurses were like, yeah, that sounds like a psycho unit, a psycho, somebody that needs help. I mean, I ain't trying to make any fun of anybody out there, but I'm just saying it just sounds like she needs help, mental help. Now it turns out that the management got involved, of the whole entire complex got involved, and the lady that runs the area, the section out here, got involved, and actually her bosses got involved with it, and they were trying to get the next door neighbor some help. Now the reason why, let me tell you the reason why, is because the next door neighbor went over to the landlord's house, got in her car, and called her from the landlord's car, called her house saying, I'm trying to kill her. Phil is trying to kill me. so did anybody see the strangeness of all of this, and how I don't have a big ministry. It's not big, you know, but it has the potential of being big. So, and even if you're talking to a few people, the devil's going to send his demonic forces to get you, to bring you down. And that's just a normal person. Even a person who is just an average Joe Blow, the devil does not want that individual coming to Christ. So we think, because, well, I'm talking to a few thousand people, that, you know, the devil's coming to attack me. The devil attacks everybody. And don't think you're special because you're talking to a few people on, you know, YouTube or Blog Talk Radio, because you're not. I mean, of course, everybody's special in God's eyes because we're God's children. He loves us. But he's going to attack anybody out there. So anybody that's listening to this radio program, he's not a respecter of persons either. He's proven that through history. But he will use you until he's done. Remember, the Antichrist and the false prophet goes to burning hell first before he does. So he'll use you until he gets everything out of you, and then he'll put you in a coffin 6 feet deep. But with the story is that we don't know what actually is happening to, because I saw the neighbor today, and we don't know if she went and got help, or we don't know if this episode, she's going to have another episode. Well, the reason why we call it episodes, because I don't want to go into specifics, because I'm leaving a lot of stuff out, because I just want to kind of give y'all heads up about what's going on here. We're praying. I'm praying, you know, that everything subsides, because we only got 6-7 months left in this apartment complex, and we're almost on the verge of just asking her, can we move into another apartment or another house or something like that? But we don't know for sure. But anyway, that's what's going on right now with that issue. I'm going to be giving you guys Sundays again with the Prophecy Zone for because we've not been doing any shows lately because of the issues that have been going on here. But Sunday will be the show, Prophecy Zone show, where we will be giving y'all end time Bible prophecy. And we think it's important not to let distractions come and try to delude us into going in a different direction, or distractions come and try to discourage us. We're gonna stay the course. We're gonna continue to give the word of God out. The word of God is very important in the days times that we're living in. And but it's important, folks, to that you guys, when you guys go through endeavors, that you, if you're not married, to marry the right spouse, and if you are married, to pray that your spouse will support you in anything that you do and anything that happens to you, because these are trying times. And then there's other times where you have to make sure you're safe, regardless of where your spouse is going, or whatever. You can't take your spouse with you to heaven or hell, but you can influence them now. But you can't take your children with you to heaven or hell, but you can influence them. You can raise them up the way they should go, and then you can be a good leader for your wife. But a lot of people are believing that, I'm only going to trust God as long as he has my kids going in the right direction and everything in my life is going in the right direction. But other than that, I'm going to, be over here. God, you stay over there. But God wants us to live for him regardless of what our spouse is doing, regardless of what our families are doing, whatever, regardless of what our best friend is doing, or anybody. God wants us to serve him, And if you feel like you're the loneliest person in the world, think about some of the times when Jesus was here, and he did not have anybody to really lean on. He didn't have James, John, and Peter. But to tell you the truth, he really didn't have them. He just had God the Father. And it is important that we realize that Jesus was lonely as well at times. I guarantee you, he had a lot of the physical makeup and the emotions that we have today. And we've got to remember that Jesus suffered a lot of things. We will never find out to what degree, because he's the creator. But we will know in part, as we look through the glass fully, we're going to see that Jesus was very man of very man and very God of very God. He was God all the way, and he was man all the way. And our minds cannot fathom that at all. But he came to die on the cross for our sins. I'd like to wish everybody a Happy New Year, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I will be coming on a few times between now and then, but I've looked over the course of since I started in 2009 and realized that I was not really active during the holidays anyway the last 2 years. So I'm going to try to change that right now and become active, very much so. Very quickly, the North Korean peninsula seems to be active. I also still believe that the Indian-Pakistan situation will escalate. When the Bible talks about wars, there should be wars and rumors of wars. Since the 20th century started, there were wars and rumors of wars. And it is an idea, fingerprint of the end-time scenario. So whenever we get to the end-time scenario, there should be wars and rumors of wars big time. It's not going to be normal. I'm pretty sure in the 19th century they had wars and rumors of wars. And in the 18th century, they, of course, we know that, that they would have wars and rumors of wars. But now, the mark of the end times will be a great escalation of rumors and of wars. And then at a certain time, there will break out a series of wars all at the same time. And I can't tell you how that's going to work out, but I know that most of the regions and geographical areas are somewhat tied politically, economically, and historically to form a future major war setting for many parts of the world. So I believe that India and Pakistan and North and South Korea, with, along with different factions like China on one side and the U.S. on the other side. And I also believe that there will be problems on the American soil. And that's something we need to pray for. But we need to be ready for all these things. We need to be ready. We don't know if it's going to be now or it's going to be later. Harold Camping was talking about 2011 in the spring. Now, I'm to a point right now, I'm like, man, you guys ought to give up on this date setting. I mean, for real, even myself. I'm like, whatever, dude. Whenever he comes, he comes. I will continue to work. I will work. And I will continue to work until he comes. And I would love to see the ministry grow until he comes. And that's important. I'm going to take all those doggone maps off. I think I just get over exalus and like to see a whole bunch of dots on the map trying to, you know, get me motivated. But that stuff is going to have to come off. And you're just going to have to leave one map up at least, but you have to have faith that God is sending people to us, you know, to hear that word and to be prepared for his coming. I was going to call in through Skype, but this new Google Chrome Explorer is just not allowing me to do a lot of things, so I'm going to get this thing off my computer very quickly. There are going to be some things we're going to start doing at the ministry that we're not going to really say, but we are going to try to help people get their ministry out there, and actually we're going to help people get their ministry started. I'm not going to actually say how we're going to do it. We're working on those issues, and I'm probably not going to say it, but I'm just going to do it. But I'm just going to really happy about just and really joyous about trying to figure out ways to help people start their own ministry. But we are going to design this ministry so we can let people know what is going on, just in case a lot of things break out all at the same time. And there's going to be some things we're going to start doing that, like I say, we're not going to really talk about. We're just going to do it. But at the same time, I'm just letting y'all know we're going to be able to update people, especially on YouTube. Now, that's not a secret. YouTube is going to be our source of updates, and we're going to use the prophecies on one of the accounts that we have on Blog Talk as a quick source for what is going on. I'm going to have to be able to really articulate what's going on. I got two kids who never like to go to sleep. One is one, and the other one's two, going on three. And I'm like, look, dude, you guys are going to have to start going to sleep or something. I'm going to have to pray about it, because, I mean, it's not like they're bad kids, super bad kids. But my two-year-old, sometimes I think he's demon-possessed sometimes because he throws temper tantrums. But not around daddy, though. Now, I pray for my kids, though. I'm just joking with the demon-possessed. Well, I'm surprised he's being quiet during this show right now, because he was asleep. I took a nap today. I was watching a football game because I thought the Green Bay was going to get blew out by the Patriots. So I'm sitting there asleep, and I wake up, and I'm half asleep, half towards sleep, half towards being awake. And I'm hearing the announcer talk about how good Green Bay is doing. So I decided to wake up and start watching the game. So I turn around, and there's my son laying down. I was like, well, uh-oh, I don't know if this is good news or bad news. Because last night he went to sleep all the way through, which is cool. My daughter was up for the last two nights coughing. And it's not that she has a cold. She just has the milk build up when they drink milk or something. They have post-nasal, and we have to set her on her stomach sometimes so she can sleep. But anyway, having kids changed the whole complexity of doing things, you know, trying to get things accomplished, even in the world. When you're trying to finish the college degree and things like that, it's just, I've decided to put God first, but I have also decided to finish this degree because I only got like a month or two, I mean, actually a month, a semester or two, maybe three at the most. And they're not hard, I mean, they're decent, they're minimum classes, which I mean they're hard, but they're not too hard. So once I'm done with that, I'm going to end up going to some type of a counseling degree, and then probably some type of ministerial degree after that. But the Lord wills and time does not tarry. I am not holding on to this world. I'm holding things loosely, even a ministry, which we have to find God. We have to find Jesus. We have to seek His face. And the ministry will come after that. And I'm talking to myself when I say that in Psalms 127, it says that the Lord is not the builder of the city, the builder labors in vain. If he's not the guard, the guard guards in vain. So God has to have control over these situations in our life. The things that I told you tonight are kind of spooky to me. I kind of went glossed over it really fast, so I might have left some stuff out, but I apologize if I did. But yeah, it's kind of spooky. God has been, He's watched over me throughout the past, and He will continue to watch over me. I don't say that arrogantly, I say that blessfully. I am so happy that God has given me a life where I know the truth. There comes a time when we get stupid and we bypass the truth, but thank God that His, you know, grace is sufficient, and we should not try to frustrate the grace of God, because when we frustrate the grace of God, there's many people who've died who did that, but they got too comfortable, and they probably even come to a point of no return. Now, I'm pretty sure in Eddie Long's church, there are many people who are to a point of no return. You might say, well, God has grace. God has His hand on people. And He knows the pattern of their heart. He knows the soil of their heart. He knows the texture of their heart. And He knows their mind, and He knows their total makeup. He knows exactly. That's why it said that God, His foreknowledge. Now, am I a person who believes that God chose specific people? It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So, He chose the whole world to be saved. But not everybody's going to be saved. As a matter of fact, it's a narrow gate to get into heaven. And that's something we have to know right now, that it is a narrow way. And God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He's chosen people to do things that are out of the norm, like myself. We're still waiting for things to happen in this ministry. We need to pray that God will put things in our heart and in our mind, because I believe that God puts anxiety and puts ideas in your heart that He wants you to still lean on Him so these things can come out to fruition. For instance, a ministry. Some people say that anxiety is not good because of this or because of that, but it's not true. If God puts something in your heart or in your mind and you just can't drop it, I mean, now it's something ridiculous, I can see. If you're going to go spend all your family money, that's fun. You know, that's ridiculous. But if it's something that He put in your heart that's reachable, attainable, especially through Blog Talk Radio, go with it. Now pray to God that He leads you, but go with it. And that's what we're going to be doing in this ministry, is motivating people to get out and go above and beyond what they've been doing through Christ, and trust God that He has a mission for you. And we have to remember one person at a time, instead of us, you know, trying to focus on 100 people, a million people. We need to focus on one person at a time, and that way our ministry will flourish. Our ministry will go places that we never knew that God can take us. And like I said, we're not going to talk too much about what's going on until we get the ball rolling here, and then we'll start letting people know what's going on and what we're doing. And also, the family is being demised in our society, and values are being demised in our society, and that's something we're going to do at this ministry. We're going to talk about the family unit and how to save it, and the only one you can save this family unit is Jesus Christ. But we're not going to be talking about things that we know, I can't say unfixable, but we are going to talk about how an individual can change their family, and, you know, including myself, how we can change our families for the better of God's kingdom. Because if you got a family that has many other satellite families, then and also I call them satellite friends and associates. For instance, your kids might have friends and associates who have parents who parent different. My daughter, we didn't know this, but my daughter comes home and she starts talking about the lady that used to live next door. They moved, and my daughter used to hang with this girl, and we didn't know any of this though. But anyway, the mom of my daughter's friend decided she wanted to become a lesbian. And here's my daughter sitting over at their house. And my daughter runs her mouth sometimes. She comes, and she didn't think we was going to think anything of it, I guess, because that's how numb society is. You know, it's like, well, yeah, they got this, and she's sitting next to her and hugging her. And I say, Zaina, why are you even – don't go back over there. I can't believe this. And see, that's what I mean by satellites, because society, especially if you a family like mine, my family is a, you know, I got three kids before we even got married. My wife had three kids before we even got married, and I took over three kids, and now my oldest daughter and son have a dad that lives in town here where we live at, and they go over there and they visit. And that's what I mean by satellite families, you know, satellite associates, satellite friends, satellite, anything that can, even satellite school, anything that can pull you away. Because remember, the earth revolves around planets and satellites. A planet, I guess I can call it planet family, but it wouldn't sound good, so I just call it satellite families. That revolve around your family and influence your kids. And that's the thing you need to pray about. First of all, prayer that your kids can understand. You know, that's the most important thing. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's also distorted knowledge. Before we even talk to our kids, we will have to be on our knees praying that they will understand what you're trying to tell them. And folks, I'm with y'all. For those who have kids out there, it's not easy raising kids, especially when you have a fragmented family where the husband, you know, because I didn't have any kids, and now I got five. So And it's hard. I mean, you got television where if your wife or your spouse or your husband love television and you're a Christian, you're trying not to, you know, you sometimes you just throw your hands up in the air and you're just like, wow, this is not cool. You come in the room. I mean, there are times where you just like, man, and there's times when I influence, you know, my spouse to, you know, watch better things, and then there are times where I don't want her to feel like, you know, she has to watch this or that because I'm in there. But it's a good thing that, yeah, I used to like say, well, don't feel guilty that I'm coming in here and you're watching something. Now I don't say anything because that's true. You know, what you are, what you watch. It's like food in the natural. You are what you eat. Well, in the spiritual, you are what you watch. Remember Jesus said that the eye is a floodgate. So if you're sticking in wicked stuff in front of your eyes, especially if you're a male, it's easy. If you're a male who has problems with pornography, who has problems with sexual addictions or masturbation or any other sexual lustful lasciviousness or uncleanness or you know, your mind just wanders or whatever, you need to be careful because the mind only needs a little time to be stimulated. That's all it needs. And your flesh will carry it to its fruition. Remember it says in James, I think it is that we are enticed by our own passions. We want to be enticed. I mean, that's just the root of your personality. It's called sin. Say, well, my personality is endured by sin. Yeah, because your shell, the shell that you live in, you're a spirit and you're a soul. But the body that's carrying your spirit and soul endeavors to want to lust very deeply. And we are what we watch and we are what we hear. And most of the time, we are what we do. We definitely we are what we do. But those what we do is a product of what we think about, what we see, and what we what we hear. But anyway, we have to, as far as a family is concerned, really think about what. Do my family watch? What do my family believe? My family, whoever it is, the Bible says, love not the world or the things in the world. There's going to come a time where I believe the tribulation period is going to be a lot worse than what we believe it to be. See, people think that the tribulation period, oh, they'll be still giving out food rations. Oh, they'll still be doing this. Oh, they'll still be giving out. You know, I'm not so sure. I'm not trying to scare anybody out there, but yeah, I am trying to scare you. It could come a time where there might not be any food left. The food that we hold so endeavorly to throw away, you know, I don't want this food. Man, it's got this in it. I mean, somebody in my family threw away some lasagna. And I'm like, man, are you kidding me? I mean, that's fine. You can throw away some food, but don't make it a habit that you throw away food. You know. Well, anyway, I'm going from one thing to the next. But these things are important to me because getting back to the family structure, is the most important organization that God has put together besides the marriage. And to me, the marriage is where the family revolves around. Yeah, and it does look sort of like a, if you can draw a picture of a universe and you can draw a picture of the family, the husband and wife is in the middle, and the kids are satellite, and, you know, planets around, and then you can draw lines of different solar systems and satellites for where the kids go at and get influenced. And you can draw a nice picture of the television set you know, different, you know, the computer, you know, and then branching off from there. And the thing is, you don't need to, a lot of these kids don't, you can just have Facebook with a whole bunch of chat boxes open, and they can be talking to their friends from there. So, yeah, even on this picture that I'm envisioning, you can draw, you know, the kids as planets, and then you can draw the computer, the television, the video games right around them, because even in the video games, you don't even need to leave the house to talk to your friends, because you can be playing them on the video games still talking to them. Cell phones, you just draw the cell phones and all these things around the family. And then after that, you can draw all the satellite families. And then after that, you can draw the school and, you know, the church, even the church. And to think about it, in all of this, there is a garden of influence. These are all gardens that the devil works through to influence society to do what he wants them to do. We're going to take a break and we'll be back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Guests lined up, but throughout the week I'm going to be working on getting some people to come on as guests, and we're going to have a good time because I'm also going to be talking about end time Bible prophecy. Who is the Antichrist, by the way? There is a lot of people who believe that and you can actually pinpoint the Antichrist. You can actually see him on the world stage before the tribulation period even begins, to know who he is. I believe there are more Christians trying to know who the Antichrist is than they are trying to know Christ. And that is not a cool thing. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. We are to be looking for Jesus to come back and to storm in history with a climactic event called the Rapture of the Church. Who do I believe the Antichrist is? I believe we know who he is. We just don't know the exact position that he's coming from. I'm not saying the exact place, because there is hints in the Bible to tell where he is going to come from and maybe what nationality that he is going to be. However, Do I know exactly where he's coming from? Nope, I couldn't tell you. Just like I can't tell you what day and hour Jesus Christ is coming back. But I could tell you that we're close, and I believe that when it's all said and done, there will be a time where we could have just said, yeah, if we'd have just sat down and thought about it, yeah, that makes some sense. And whenever you look at Bible prophecy, and whenever you look at the Bible, it will turn out the way God wanted it to turn out, not the way we predicted it or wanted it. And, of course, it's going to turn out the way we wanted it to come out, because eventually we're going to be in heaven with the Lord. But anyway, the Antichrist, the Bible calls him in Micah, the Assyrian. It gives a geographical and encyclopedia, I think, one of the encyclopedias, and also the dictionary online. You can go on dictionary online. Anyway, it talks about the Assyrian Empire. It was Iraq, Syria, and parts of Greece, if I'm not mistaken. There's a possibility, and this is what I'm thinking, the Antichrist will rise up after Damascus is taken out. And I don't hear anybody thinking about this at all, is that the Antichrist is possibly Syrian. Could the Sunnis and the Shiites still get their Messiah? And I'm going to also talk about that also on the coming show. excuse me. The Mahdi? Yeah. As a matter of fact, they got factions in Syria that are Sunni and Shiite faction. They're all over the place. Well, anyway, the Antichrist will be an individual who will broker a peace deal, and he will be Syrian, and he could possibly be a little Jewish. I don't know, but I'm thinking he is a Gentile. The prince that shall come will be a Gentile. It says, well, how could they inherit him as Messiah? Maybe he lies to him. Maybe he does say his mom was this or his dad was this. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's not what he's made up to be, but we don't know all of that. That's just speculation. But I do believe that Syria in Isaiah 17 will be attacked prior to Ezekiel 38 and 39. I do believe that Damascus will no longer be a city, and its leadership will be taken out, and the new leadership will be possibly a monarch, a royalty, royal line of Syrian kings stopped. And maybe they will restore that again. Who knows? The Mediterranean Union is a possible fulfillment of Revelations 13 and Daniel chapter 7. It is a revived Roman Empire, which was divided into two, and that is why in Daniel chapter 2, the statue is divided into, as you go down further down in the body, the two legs is the Roman Empire, which one capital was Constantinople, and the other capital was Rome. And then as you go down, you notice that those were divided into five. And the world is a different landscape than it was back then, so you got more countries. So now you can take the Middle East and Africa and divide those into five, and you can take the European Union and divide it into five. And you got your two feet with five toes each. And the Antichrist, if you read Daniel chapter 8, will come from Alexander the Great's broken up empire, which one of the generals formed the Seleucid Empire, which Antiochus Epiphanes was a copycat antichrist who is from you know it, Syria. So the Antichrist will be a Assyrian or from the Syrian Empire. Now, who is it? I believe the Antichrist is nowhere to be seen. Now, he could be somewhere seen by local communities or the local arena that he's in. For instance, if he's from Syria or if he's an Egyptian or if he's from Greece, then the people in his geographical area know who he is. But I do not believe the world will know who he is. He's not Prince Charles. He's not Juan Carlos. He's not Barack Obama. Don't get mad. People actually get mad when you tell them that the Antichrist is nowhere to be seen. He cannot come to power until the church is removed. And the church must be removed. And then one who lets or who keeps evil from prospering will only continue until he is taken out of the way. Now, the Holy Spirit will return back in the form of the Old Testament. But as far as what the Bible says, that he shall pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, that's going on now. But in the tribulation period, the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but his his presence is only manifest when there is his godly presence is only manifest when there is obedience in the house, meaning only when somebody is obedient will God visit them. Now, if somebody is getting beat up in a building somewhere, or if a woman getting raped or something like that, is God in the room? Or is the Holy Spirit there? If the Holy Spirit is omnipresent, is he there? Well, yes and no. Does he look upon that? Yeah, God sees everything, but God is not enjoying, you know, somebody getting beat up in the building when nobody knows, you know, child being abused. He's not enjoying that. He knows it's there, but his presence is not there. God knows everything, but is he approving what is going on in that room? No. Does he know what's going on in that room? Yes, he knows everything. But I don't believe that his attention is to a point where he's looking in smiling. At that. That's evil. And pretty soon, one of these days, God will judge that act. And that's another reason why I want him to come back soon, is because of abuse, of rape, of murder. And we Americans live in a society where we just kings and priests. We automatically kings and priests. We have no idea that we are. I mean, we actually have a life of luxury here. Even the poorest person does. And there's even times when we can actually go to the store without getting shot. I mean, actually being war. There's war in different lands, especially in Africa, where people are getting missiled at, shot at, you know, bombed at. There's even places in Africa where you can't go to the store because there are mines in every, you know, you might step on the wrong mine, come out your house and step on a mine, blow up. So, as Americans, we need to be thankful for what we do and what we have. Pray for this nation. Pray that men and women will get saved. Pray that God will save this nation, and that we will understand what Christmas is all about. I will see y'all back on Thursday. Hopefully I can come on at least Thursday night and talk to y'all. But God bless everybody out here. I am just happy to have been on the show and enjoyed myself. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful day.